Mornings with Nadia, broadcasting from Wadjuk Country on ABC Radio Perth.
Well, yesterday I talked about changes the University of Western Australia wants to make to some of its courses as it tries to find ways to save $40 million. It plans to scale back the School of Social Science, which was responsible for things like Asian studies, international politics, geography, planning and archaeology. But what's caused the most anger is a plan to cut sociology and anthropology, to axe them completely. And that would see staff lose their jobs. It would force students to find other units or end up with a degree that looks a little different to what they initially wanted. And judging by the calls I got yesterday, and I got a lot of them, the backlash to that proposal is fierce. Current and former students and teachers say this proposal is short-sighted and will ruin the reputation of the university. Well, the Vice-Chancellor of UWA is Professor Amit Chakma. He is here to respond to the criticism and explain his thinking behind this proposal. Killing these courses, sociology and anthropology, what's the rationale behind that?
We have a financial crisis that we are dealing with. We're living beyond our means for a long time. We tried many different things to get us out of it. So the reason for the shortfall is that year after year, our revenue growth and our expenditure growth have not aligned. In trying to deal with it, coming back to the School of Social Sciences, so this problem had been going on for a long time, but it got really, really bad at about 2012. So in trying to deal with the problem, university as a whole used whatever one-time resources we had to plug the hole. And those options are no longer available. The school was facing an enrollment decline. So the school came up with a number of initiatives, including addition of 6 master's level courses. And they all failed and they were shut down. So the program closures that you're looking at the university is not new, actually. There are 6 master's courses we launched with good intention, trying to see whether they will bring students. Just didn't work out. We made second mistake at that time. In support of those new programs, we actually increased staff at a time when enrollment was declining. So that leads us to where we are today. We are dealing with a $70 million problem. So the good news is that we have dealt with $30 million of that through attrition, through retirement, and those sort of things. To achieve that $30 million savings, we had to let go less than 12 people through forced redundancy. So now we have $40 million to deal with. So there, you know, our main source of income is driven by student demand. If students come to our courses, you know, we fill our classrooms, we get their tuition fee revenue, government grants, we can support them. So when you're making choices, you know, what to do, what not to do, the key criteria there becomes student demand. Unfortunately, the programs in question have not been able to attract large number of students.
Now, your consultation paper says there's been a 77% drop in enrolments in anthropology and sociology from 2015 to 2020. What are the raw figures to back that up? Because staff say their calculations show a drop in unit enrolments between 2016 and 21 of 8%. And then in 2021, enrolments are 36% higher than for the same time last year. So your data is not lining up.
Well, it all depends on which data set you are picking. We cannot make decisions or sound decisions based on a particular set of data. We have to look at the trend. So the data the school has provided, the 77% or roundabout, covers the period of 2012 to 2020. This planning process started in 2020, which is last year.
So how can it be then, and staff are saying, well, they show that their drop from 2016 to 2021 is 8%.
I don't know what data set they have. I can only speak to the data set that school has presented.
Okay. How many staff are going to lose their jobs under these cuts?
Okay, so it's a combination of 2 elements. So number of people impacted, net job losses. So the positions impacted is about 27. You know, don't hold me to the accuracy. I'm giving a ballpark number. Things are a little bit fluid. And then there have been new positions created, which is, I believe, about 11. So when you look at the difference, about 16.
And are these new positions researchers that are now going into teaching roles?
These are teaching positions.
But who are filling those teaching positions, so teachers or researchers?
Know. You should also know.
Sorry, just on that point, are they going to be filled by teachers or researchers?
They're going to be filled by professors. Professors can be appointed under different categories. We have three types of appointments. One is research only. One is teaching only. And the other group is teaching and research. So the 11 positions will be teaching only positions.
Okay. How many students will this affect, Professor?
About 100 undergraduate students, about 20 HDR students.
What happens to these students who are halfway through a degree, who have just started a degree, who will now not be able to do those subjects, those majors that they enrolled for?
We are going to, so there's a labeling thing that's called major. There's content. So while we are proposing to eliminate the major, the teaching of the content will continue in different forms. So we are confident that we can support all our students one by one to see them through the program.
But how? They either have to change their subjects or find another university.
No.
Is there any other university that does anthropology in Western Australia?
They can continue to pursue their program by taking courses or units, not courses, units under different labels, but will give them the same content.
But it's not anthropology or sociology.
It all depends on how narrowly you define them.
Well, I think they're pretty clear. They want anthropology or sociology.
No, even them, there is an issue with nomenclature. While we are getting, we are proposing to eliminate that major, we are not eliminating the discipline. There'll be others from other areas who offer equivalent courses.
Explain that. Who? Where? At your university?
That's our university.
So what, through the School of Indigenous Studies? Okay, but that's not anthropology.
Well, that's element of anthropology.
Okay, but it's one small element. As I understand the way that course works, it's one small element of it.
I'm not an expert in this.
People will not come out as anthropologists doing that course.
They will not be able to come out with a major in, you know, with that title.
So it's a very different offering to what is currently being offered.
It's a very different offering. I would say when you look at it from a learning outcome point of view, it will not be a different offering.
How much money will this save you, Professor?
I can't give you a precise number for this school. We are trying to save $40 million. So there will be other changes. The changes that we are going through will impact everybody.
So, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but obviously more to come. I mean, did you consider maybe reducing the staff numbers rather than axing both of those subjects?
Reducing staff number, absolutely.
Rather than actually...
At a macro level, we have made a decision that we are going to reduce more staff on the support services side. Right. So support service areas will be hit with double the reduction than the academic areas, that is the schools.
There are staff, current staff and former staff, that are concerned that this is going to turn one of Australia's top universities into the Crawley Institute of Technology. Do you risk reputational damage here?
There is always risk of reputational damage, especially with the magnitude of cuts that we are looking at. So you're seeing just one aspect of it. Try to take $70 million out from the general operating budget, which is, you know, about... We have a total budget, but there is operating budget, general purpose budget, which is about less than $600 million. So that's a lot of money. So that's one aspect of it. Here's the other side of it. Because our enrollment has declined and we have added academic staff positions, we now have the highest staff-student ratio in WA. We have the highest staff-student ratio among Group of Eight universities.
What is that ratio?
I won't give you a number. because, you know, it depends on what you count. But if you're comparing at a very high level, not this school, but the university, we are probably at, let me reverse the number, student-faculty ratio. Student-faculty ratio. If you look at number of total students we have,
yep.
divided by academic staff we have. And the reason this is tricky is that different types of appointments are made. Some are on research money and whatnot. So the number should be looked at as such. So we are probably at about, say, you know, 22 to 25, right? So some other universities would be, you know, 30 plus. Within WA, for the same, roughly same number, not exactly same number of academic staff, Curtin teaches almost twice as many students as we do. So I do believe that we can manage this in such a way that doesn't have longer-term impact on the university.
Okay. Before I let you go, you need to save another $40 million. So you're not going to save $40 million with these changes. So is every school going to be restructured? Are we going to see more of this across all of the other schools at UWA?
So one of the criteria for targeting budgets is students, student demand. Some schools have greater demand than others. And then some schools, because of demographics and whatnot, have had more retirement than others. Of the 21 schools that we are looking at this stage, I estimate that a large number of them will be able to deal with their budgetary challenges without having to resort to significant restructuring because of attrition, because of early retirements. So of the 21, we are probably looking at most 7 or 8 schools having to go through a formal restructuring process.
Can you tell me what those schools are?
I don't know. I have some sense, but I'm not.
I think students would like to know, because one of the criticisms has been that they weren't consulted, they didn't feel that they were part of the
valid
consultant,
criticism.
And this has come out of the blue for a lot
valid
of people.
Valid criticism. We cannot talk about these things in public before we advise affected staff. So all those are still in the planning stage. I have early inklings of it, but it would be irresponsible of me to announce on ABC that these are the schools that we're looking at.
But there are
place within these schools.
But there are 7 or 8 other schools that you are looking at
maximum.
That will face a significant restructure. So that would mean
significant. You know,
you did
some,
say
some restructure.
You did say significant. So, but you so that would mean job cuts. Some staff would have to be let go, and again, it would mean that some subjects may face the same fate as sociology and anthropology.
Do not know. I just haven't seen the proposals as yet.
And finally, when will these decisions be made?
They'll be carried out over the course of next 6 months. So it'll be between now and probably December and maybe even longer. And the reason for that is there's a lot of planning that goes into this sort of things. So we don't want to rush into anything. We want to take into account of all aspects. But I accept the criticism of the students. But it just the process doesn't allow us to give students heads up.
So would it be fair then that this is a done deal? Because I've got a stack of people that want to talk about this and complain, and they are organising petitions and formal protests. Is this a fait accompli?
What is a done deal is the budget cut is a done deal. How we go about doing it, we have a process underway, and that's why I'm reluctant to say too much about it. The process has a timeline, so it'll end sometime next week, and then we would look at all the feedback that we got carefully and then see what other options there might be. So in terms of what has to happen, that is not a done deal. But in terms of dealing with the budget situation, that's a done deal. And let me not raise unexpected hope, unreasonable hope. We cannot deal with these sort of problems when 70% of our budget is tied to salary without impacting people. So that's the unfortunate part.
Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Mornings with Nadia, broadcasting from Whadjuk Country on ABC Radio Perth.